When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
Why do you have headphones?
No, because I'm testing the level. You can have it, though.
No, that's fine.
I'm going to take them off.
Oh, I'm turning my computer on. We have work to do.
See, I have to check. There.
Okay, because I don't have headphones.
I know, and I know it bothers you.
It does. Yeah.
So I won't wear mine.
Yeah, I would hope not.
No.
Out of common courtesy.
I am a courteous. I'm courteous.
Sometimes.
No, sometimes.
Yeah, so we're still in a frickin' hotel room.
Yeah,
this is how Janice lures me.
This is how, that's right, because
go to podcast.
That's right, that's how I lure Jillian.
We gotta record a podcast. Yeah,
come down to my room.
Yes.
That's right, it's always in my room.
Yeah.
Not your room. Maybe you're afraid of inviting me to your room. Maybe you're afraid.
I don't want you to get the wrong idea.
That's right. That I might take advantage of you.
Yeah. You know, our listeners are concerned.
I know.
So I'm sitting in Janice's room again without a studio again. And while I admit it has been lovely to get out there and see all the fans, I haven't been home in months.
Well, you were at a bit more of a disadvantage than the rest of us on the tour because you had like a hop, skip, and jump at home from India.
Yeah,
then
to Canada for a week.
Then to Canada, which I still can't believe. And you not only just to Canada, you went to the east coast of the farthest east of Canada you could go.
For good life, I know.
And then you hopped on the tour. So you've really been gone. Really?
Months.
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 I can't imagine.
2 full months. Maybe a little. Yeah,
more.
About 2 full. 2.5 months.
I don't know.
I know.
Although last year's tour, we were out.
2 months.
We were out just over 2 months.
And I started to go batty.
Yeah.
I started to lose it. You know what it is? It's just like, it's the poor kids go crazy and then you go crazy. And it's like, you know, luckily though, the weather has finally cleared up. But we were in places, I don't know how people do it, like Green Bay and all of that, where it's freezing. It's so cold. And you don't have a car, and the kids are just bouncing off the walls inside. And then they got sick because they were going to all those children's museums every single day because we didn't know what else to do with them. Then I got
sick.
Then
you got
sick. And Heidi got sick. I mean, I got hit twice. I got through the stomach flu one. And then the second one didn't go so well.
No.
Yeah, but...
No, the recent one didn't go so well.
I mean, yeah, I'm wiped out shorts, man. I gotta say. I don't know how you're holding up there, buddy.
Yeah, but I don't have children that touch me all the time. I don't.
Poor
you know
Heidi.
What I mean?
I don't know how she does it. She's got the patience of a saint, I swear. But now we're almost heading home.
Mm-hmm.
And news, I think you should tell the people your news. Don't worry. She's still not dating anybody.
You know what? So, okay, this is what happened. Was the night before we left on tour.
Yep.
100 years ago before we left on tour.
That's what it feels like.
Literally, like it was, we flew into Denver on the Sunday because we had to rehearse on the Monday.
Yeah.
So the Saturday night.
2,000 years ago, doesn't it?
I know. Yeah. So the Saturday night, of course, Vancouver gets a ton of rain. You know, the rest of the country gets snow, but gets a ton of rain and torrential rains. And literally I was packing and the basement of, you know, I'm at my mom and dad's house.
Still.
And the basement flooded.
Yeah.
And I could not, and, you know, I phoned my brother. I just said, I can't keep, like, I tried to keep it up.
No way, dude. And water damage is supposedly, like, worse than fire damage in some cases.
Brutal. And just kept on pouring and pouring. And my brother came over and he brought a sump pump.
Why now, do you think? Because, I mean, for God's sake, it's obviously rained in Vancouver many times before.
I think there comes a point where the earth can't, like, it's like L.A. Look what happens in L.A. Flash things, like, anyway, Vancouver can take a lot of rain, but when it rains that hard, the earth just can't absorb it anymore, so it just starts to come up. Anyway, sump pumps. Long story short, I phoned my sister and I said I got to get on the plane. So I left. I literally
abandoned ship. Yeah,
I did. I abandoned ship and I flew to Denver, and then I just left it with my brother and sister. I said I'm so sorry. Anyway, the insurance people had to be brought in because nothing was healing. The house was not healing. It was not drying.
No. Well, God, no. I would think not.
And this is where, you know, this is where all the stuff, 40 years of my parents. Anybody who's got parents who have been in a house for 40 years knows there's a lot of stuff in the basement. Anyway, the company had to come in, the restoration company, and they pulled everything out. And it was like, and I had no control.
Yeah.
Like we were in, I remember calling from Nashville and the feeling of giving somebody the key, and they went in and they took all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like they put it in boxes, and it's like, I cannot tell you what that feeling was because it was.
You've given sacrifice so much.
But
for
you know
it.
What, Jill, you know what? And I tried to empty it. And I remember spending hours in that basement sorting and trying to put things in boxes and going to the dump and not even making a dent. I remember my sister coming over and just looking at it and to hand control. And so they packed up literally everything, the whole basement. They had to gut it. They had to seal off the house. So, you know, when I go back to a home that's, you know, they're fixing it, but it's just, and all that stuff is in a storage facility somewhere.
Buddy.
And I know you said it.
I just think, you know, this has been coming, you know, and it's, you've been such a prisoner of all of this stuff. And we talk about, Oprah's little saying, right? The universe speaks to you in whispers. Mm-hmm. The universe flicks a pebble at your head. It chucks a brick at you. And then the house comes down. Your house came down.
The house came down.
Mama, it's like, and then, you know, another thing is you're like, no, I will single-handedly live in this house and deal with all this crap. And then you had to leave and people had to come in and deal with it for you. And I think, albeit extremely painful, it's like, you got to give up a ghost here, bud.
Yeah.
It's time. And it happened just at the time you were leaving, so you didn't have to stay at the house. Like, there's something serendipitous about that.
And you know, you're absolutely, like Millie, like my dog Millie, like I took her, instead of having someone come into the house, I took her to good friends of mine, so she's there. And like, really, the house was empty, and it couldn't have been, like this, I couldn't have written the script. How unbearably painful it was to let it go. I couldn't have, and you told me that. You said, buddy, can't you see? And it's true. I couldn't have been in there. It would have been unsafe.
Look at how perfect, though, the way it played out. It's like, It's kind of a, it was a gentler transition than I would have expected the universe to have given you, to be fair. That was like, that was the most, I mean, A, you're leaving for 5 weeks, so right. you're not going to be there anyway. B, the dog's got somebody to take care of her while you're gone, so you're not going to be there anyway. And C, thank God it's insured, so it's not yeah. crushing you financially. And it facilitated, it was like, it was just beyond you. You were, it was beyond you. He was beyond no. you. And now, you know, so now you're kind of at this precipice. And I think you're in a place where you have some decisions to make. What decisions are you going to make here, bud?
Well,
it's the end of the Maximize Your Life show. I know that you can.
Isn't
move
that
forward,
true? You
Janice.
Throw the question out. You
I
do.
Know that you can. But will you?
Well, huh? it's not. But you know what's interesting? You're saying it's a the decision has been made for me. And that's kind
you
of
you could move back in and bring all that crap out of storage and stuff it back in there. You could.
No, I could.
Not that I want to give you those options.
No, I could.
But
I...
you could. Or you could, like, you could take the push and allow it to motor you forward back into life here, pal.
Well, yeah. And that's just it. All the stuff's out of there. So... my sister and I, when I get back, my sister and brother and I, we're going to leave it at the storage facility and we're just going to go, yes, no, yes, no. And the thing is, because it's not in the house, I think it'll be an easier yeah. way to make the decision. So, but it's not coming back. It can't come back to the house. So we either sell the house, you know.
Yeah. I just think, but I think it's time. I mean, you've paid such a tremendous amount of dues. Like, you've sacrificed so much. And there comes a point when... you just think this is not what your parents would want for you, buddy. They don't want you to be unhappy.
No, I know. I know that.
I turn and your mom would turn in her grave thinking of you being a prisoner to all of this. This is not yeah. what she would want for you. She would want you to have the rest of your life, meet somebody, go back into the land of the living. I'm telling you.
I guess I don't know where the land of the living is. That's just the thing. I don't know. Like, you know.
Well, there's got to be people. There's not a lot of people where you are. So where you see people, that's good. Yeah. You know.
No, but you said, oh, why don't you move back to L.A.? And I thought, you know what? Maybe I will move back. But then I think, you know, I love being able to be in the forest in 2 minutes. That makes me happy.
But it could be somewhere like you said, Seattle, Portland. Yeah. The Pacific Northwest, you know, you could be in Big Sur. Everyone loves it there. Up north, even. Northern Cal is nice.
But I
San
do like,
Fran
I,
is lovely.
However, it's been cool to, like, I was gone and I was in L.A. for 12 years, and it was nice. Now it's nice to be around, like, I've got, like, a grandniece now and a grand nephew. Like, there's yeah. something about being close, like my sister and brother. Like, there's a sense of family that haven't had, and I like that a lot. You know,
yeah.
We get along really well. So there's something, you know.
It could be both, though. You could go and have a little house somewhere and you go back for the holidays or...
yeah.
I don't know, bud. You got to do some soul searching. But I definitely think you got to really listen to life, right? Like, it's that... God, you sent this to me. No lesson goes away until you've learned it.
Hmm.
You know, and don't let it be, oh, God, it gets worse every time you got to learn it. You know what I mean?
I do. No, I do.
Don't, it's just, you stay in an abusive relationship, and at first it's nasty words, and then it's, you know, slightly physically aggressive, and then, you know, and it's yeah. just, then you're getting smacked, and then God knows what's happening, you end up in the hospital with 3 teeth knocked out. This is a very dramatic example. But my point is that, you know, when you see the signs... and I just think take in life when these things happen, there is always a lesson and there's always a silver lining if you choose to find it. And I think the silver lining is like, this is forcing you. It's like, hey, Janice, now you don't have to feel guilty. You literally cannot live here. We've had to remove the things. It was beyond your control. You know, stop fighting for it.
Yeah.
Now take the momentum and propel yourself forward.
I know. It's just, I know. It'll be interesting. I have anxiety. It's like I have anxiety about going. Like, you know, I mean, we're
sure.
done. And then I have anxiety about being walking in the house and that feeling. But you know what? I got to face the feelings. I have to, you know. You know, every time I call my sister, we both cry on the phone because she's in it, seeing what happened, you know.
Yeah.
But I think it's seeing, and it's and I've shared this before, and you've called me on it. Like, it's letting go is like letting go of what, you know, the family unit that once was, you know.
But it isn't, though. You know that. You know that you still have your brother, you still have your sister, and you have all these wonderful memories of your parents. Why taint that with misery?
No, I know. I guess it's just, it's...
You know, do you understand what I mean? Like,
I do.
Why allow something that was so beautiful to cause you so much pain now?
Because it's saying goodbye. Right. You know, and it's just... Man, we hang on. It's like, it's true that the house keeps certain, you know... I don't know.
But in order for you, my mom once said this to me. We were talking about death and loss. Mm-hmm. And she said, honey, the only way forward is to make new connections. That's how you stay alive and you stay engaged. Because I was like, I'm just going to get older and people are going to die. And then I'm going to, it's a slow descent into decrepitude. And she was like, oh God, is that really the way you think? She said, like, life is about new connections, constantly making new connections. And it doesn't mean that you don't value the old ones. You do. But now you have, like, as you said, the little nieces and the nephews. And you, it's just, you have this amazing foundation in this history. But it's no longer in the house, buddy. You've put all of this on the house. And the sad thing is that you have taken something that was so wonderful for you. And it's going to sink you now because of your inability to kind of progress with this. And I think that we integrate that grief. I read something else that I thought was interesting. This is awful, but for some reason it did move me to a certain extent. I had posted something on Facebook and someone wrote back how she had lost her son and how could God do that? And life is not fair and there's no meaning in it. And, you know, I was very delicate in the way I wrote back because how could you possibly, you know, unless you've been there. But I suggested a book and I said, you know, I don't want to, the book is called Man's Search for Meaning. And I was like, I don't want to give you advice on Facebook. Dear God, you know, forbid I sound patronizing in any way or underestimate what you might be going through. But I should recommend the book. And it's about bringing a meaning to your grief and allowing that meaning, right, to help you transform that pain into love and light. And someone wrote back and said, take all that love that you have for your son and that energy that you put into your son and now put it, now you have to find places to put it. Like now you have that much more to sort of give the world. And the message to me was like, again, it's the same thing. You've got to continue to make new connections. And that's what our loved ones would want for us. And you're so tied up in A, saying goodbye, and then B, feeling guilty for saying goodbye.
I think because saying goodbye means I have to be an adult now. When my mom and dad were, my dad's still alive. But,
you don't.
No, but I was always, you lose your sense of child.
Yeah.
Because now you're nobody's kid anymore. If that makes sense.
My friend Jen said that to me. She goes, I'm an orphan.
Yeah, and
mom died. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just you're not. I'm 54 years old, and I still honestly I feel like just the young Janice, and I don't want to be the old aunt. I don't want to be the old aunt with them whiskers.
Why would
that's
you
what
have
happens.
To be?
Because it just happens.
No.
You know those old aunts you go to weddings, and those old spinster aunts sitting there at the
Janice.
Table together, and they smoke cigarettes, and they have hair growing out of
you
their chin.
You don't have to be anything you don't want to be.
Well,
you don't. These are misconceptions. These are constructs of your mind. This is not real.
No, I've seen them. I've been to a lot of Italian weddings,
dude. That's a choice. Look at Diane Keaton. She's not like that. I mean, she's like in her late 60s, I think.
Yeah, but she's not. She's got children. I see. Maybe if I had squawked out a child,
your kid would be 20 right now. 20s.
My kid would be.
That would make
40.
You feel old.
That's
no.
True. No, I
mean,
I know. It's just letting go. It's honestly, there's so many layers. There's so many layers to it. And
but each layer is being peeled open. You have to continue to peel them off.
I know.
I just don't want to see you go home and go back into it again.
I agree. And I know that.
And I feel like you got to act. You got to take action. That's all. That's the only way forward. Just a small step forward. And every step forward that you make, no matter how small, will stretch the emotional fabric and get you a little more acclimated, a little more comfortable with being uncomfortable, then another step. And it's like, okay, you know, maybe you don't sell the house right away. Maybe you rent the house out while you get comfortable and you get an apartment somewhere. And then you get situated in your little apartment. And then down the road, maybe you sell the house. And then, you know, maybe you go on a date. Then it's just little steps, buddy. But you have to choose to move forward.
I'm just, okay.
Can you do it?
I can do it. Just don't let me near a wedding. An old, because I want to sit with those old, all those
all
old
right.
bags.
Fine. We'll check back in. No, we won't put you with the old women.
Okay.
Yeah. Even though you are one.
The old noose.
Old noose.
That's my new name.
The nooser.
Now, the old nooser.
Yeah. The noosey.
Away we go. We're back.
Oh, okay. I thought I
thought
of another fitness segment.
Oh, jeez. Is this a snappy? Because,
well,
you know,
I can't say it's snappy. It's more like workout warnings.
Oh.
Yeah. Things that you should be mindful of so as not to injure your body. Here's what happened. Here's what got me thinking of it. Someone tweeted me and said, "You said to make a marathon a one and done, only do it once. Why?" And I always say, hey, you know, once you knock that marathon off your bucket list, then perfect your half marathon time,
right.
Get into sprint tries or classic triathlons so that you're not overtraining. Because a marathon, I mean, look, you're running, what is it, 26 miles, something like 0.2 miles.
Yeah.
I mean, and the training leading up to it, people get the worst. I mean, plantar fasciitis, issues.
Oh.
It's just brutal. And when you read about these marathons and what they do to the body, it's really, really hard on your system. There does come a point where what you think is more is less, right?
Right.
It's like there's a time where less is more.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always said, do not exercise over 6 hours a week. Do not do it. Don't. That's not even, I don't even come close to that. I do 30 minutes, sometimes 45 minutes. Four times a week. Sometimes I get my yoga class in. Yeah. So it's like I'll get my yoga class in once on the weekend. That's 90, which by the way makes me insane because I feel like it would be perfectly effective in 60. I get a spin class in at Flywheel. You know, I believe it or not, will sometimes go to Curves just to support. You know, I feel stupid doing my own workout, but I like to go and kind of like support. So I'll go there once a week and it's 30 minutes. So, which is so dumb though, by the way, when people watch you doing your own workout, which that's the only part that makes it. I'm like, it's a good workout, you know, but that one's 30. But the reality is that when you're overdoing it, you are creating overuse injuries, knee problems, all of that stuff. And you're literally wearing and tearing the body. So we've talked about the fact that if exercise is the architect and recovery is the builder, that means that exercise is injury to a certain extent. It really is.
Right. Which shocked me when you said that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why I never put that together, but you've said that and you've said it lots of times during the show that it, you know, you are slightly injuring your body.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And as we get older, it takes even longer for our muscles to repair. So when you're in your early teens and 20s, it takes about 18 hours to repair muscle fibers that are affected by a workout. But as you get into your 30s and your 40s, it takes about 36 hours. And that's why I'll always say, hey, 2 days off of those muscle groups from intense focus. So yes, if I do a 30-minute workout DVD and I train the entire body, I'm not hammering one muscle group in particular.
But when you have something like Body Revolution or the next program I'm working on called Body Shred, which is an infomercial that's a weight loss system and a system of workouts that work together, then I'm able to split up the muscle groups. Right. So I'll focus on muscles with one function, like push muscles, mm-hmm. and then 2 days later you'll train them again. But then after that, the next day you'll train pull muscles, and 2 days later you train them again, and then I'll put cardio in there so that you're allowing those muscles some time to heal. So be sure that if you hit a muscle group and focus on it very intensely, you are giving that your body about 48 hours of recovery time before you're training again. And this is part of the problem with CrossFit. So the reason people are seeing something called rhabdomyolysis, or they make a joke, it's called Uncle Rhabdo, which is a very severe breakdown of the muscle fibers, and it can result in kidney damage and death, is because A, they're doing the same workout over and over and over again. Even though it's like they have different names, it's the same exercises.
And the same muscle groups.
Yeah. So, oh, wow. And they do it, and it's very intense, and they go over and over and over again. And if you're constantly training the same muscle groups, doing the same exercises, and you're upping the intensity, the body's not really allowed to heal. And that's why so many people are getting something called rhabdomyolysis, which is really dangerous. So the key is, if you're doing a workout like a CrossFit workout, something very hardcore and very intense, don't go back to CrossFit for at least 2 days. Don't do yoga the next day. Go spinning the next day. Mix it up. So that's the first one. Okay. Mm-hmm. Make sure to take your recovery time. Very important. Another one is that we tend to focus on muscle groups that we can see in the mirror. So
Oh my God, that's so true.
You get a lot of shoulders. Guys do a lot of chest.
Abs.
Yeah.
Well, even abs, but you see them lifting their shirts up, looking at their, you know.
Oh, without a doubt. But yeah. What happens, I mean, is that we get very imbalanced. So and we sit at our desks all day long. So you start to see people I do this too. This is terrible. That are inwardly rotated, where the shoulders roll forward.
Yep.
And this is really bad for your posture. It creates headaches and all kinds of neck and back issues. So make sure that you're training in a very balanced way. If, for example, your chest is tight and your shoulders are pulled forward, actually lay off those chest workouts and start strengthening your back.
Right, because you're always supposed to pull. Work the opposing.
Yes, right. Exactly. So you want to stretch your chest and create more flexibility. And you want to start strengthening your back to help create more balance in your system.
That's what the shoulder whisperer told me.
Oh.
Before she dug into my emotions. Was that,
before she spoke to the shoulder.
Well, she made me take my top off and looked at me.
Wow, that's...
I didn't want to share that with you.
Too much information, really, I think.
Well, no, I had my sports bra on, but when she said, take your top off, and I thought, oh, dear.
You had to take the sports bra off, too.
No, I didn't take the sports bra.
Oh, thank God. It was going somewhere so awful.
If she put a little sexy music on, then I would have been concerned. But it was just, there was no music at all.
Okay, so just, you got to wear the sports bra.
Wore the sports bra. That she did.
I was feeling like...
But I had to stand in front of the mirror with her behind me, and she was looking at me, and it was awkward. Mm. I felt...
Violated.
Not super violated, but I just felt a bit naughty. Like a dirty, ooh. I felt ooh. Like a dirty bird.
Oh, God. Well, you are.
I'm a dirty bird normally, but just with someone else having... It was just... Anyway, I'm so
someone
sorry.
Someone else was there.
Someone else was there. Watch.
Okay. How did we segue to that?
Well, we talked about the shoulder going inwards, and I just decided to ruin the segment. But anyway.
Wow. Disturbing.
Ooh, I'm exhausted.
Jeez. Oh. What else? Oh, my God. Oh, here's the other thing. If you're late for a class...
Oh,
well, and you jump in full force.
Right.
That's bad. So if it is particular, if it's CrossFit or boot camp or even yoga for that matter, there's a reason they warm you up when it comes to resistance training. You should be doing like 5 to 10 minutes of easier versions of these exercises.
Before you hit a heart.
I mean, even when I start out, like my first set, I'll warm up. I'll do my cardio warm up. But even my first set of resistance training, I do real light and easy. So if I'm going to do jumping lunges, or if I'm going to create a greater range of motion by standing on platforms and doing lunges and dropping my knee beneath the platforms, or if I'm going to be doing weighted lunges, I just do one set
with
just regular lunges. Or if I'm doing pull-ups, I'll do assisted pull-ups before I do regular pull-ups.
Oh, you will.
But if you're late to a class and you just jump right in, It's a recipe for disaster.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah. And here's another one for you, Newser.
Okay.
If you live on the machines, we've talked about this a lot, but it's more than just ineffective. It's also bad for your body because you're creating imbalances in the body. Your muscles do not function by isolating themselves and moving in one direction. It's a huge disservice.
You taught me that.
Yeah.
Once I changed the way you gave me hell one time for being on, because I was telling you about my workout, and you just said, stop, work your muscle, like give them their independence.
Yeah.
And it changed my body.
So make sure that you are working body weight and free weight exercises into any routine that still has machines. I will use machines, but I use them for supersets. So for example, like the way I did the curve circuit, what I would do is if I knew that I had a leg extension, right, which works on quads,
right,
I would do it as follows. I would say, okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to incorporate multiple muscle groups so we can fatigue the quads and then go into squats. And the great thing is that once we're in the squats, we're recruiting other muscle groups to help support the quads. So it allows you to fatigue that muscle even further. So you can use machines.
Right.
But you would use them in supersets as follows to be efficient. I got one more.
Oh, all right.
If all of your workout regimen is low impact, that's actually also not good for the body. Because remember that the idea or benefit of impact is to help strengthen our bones. So if everything you're doing is biking, swimming,
walking,
elliptical, you need to add a little bit of jogging, jump rope, things that create a little impact in order to help create bone density so you don't fall down and break your hip, Janice.
I know, because you know what? It's fair. That's so true, because when you're older.
Then you'll end up at that wedding with all the other old ladies.
Whisker chimps.
Yeah, and you won't be able to move.
We'll just sit
and talk, your hip is broken.
Smoke cigarettes and drink Drambuie and look at each other's chin hair.
Really?
Remember Drambuie?
Yeah.
Remember? Ooh.
Well, I only knew it because I was a bartender. Why do you know it?
I think it's
one nail that went with, or one drink that went with it was
rusty
called the rusty nail. Yeah.
I think I remember in my drinking days, I'm sure.
Wow.
I don't recall. You know,
that's,
it's just a haze for me.
Drinking Drambuie.
But I was going to make a really good point. How did we get on the Drambuie?
You said you were smoking cigarettes and drinking Drambuie.
Oh, with the old aunts.
Yeah, with the old ladies.
But what did you say before that?
Because your hip's broken.
that's
you're going to be relegated to that existence.
No, but I'm just, but that's so true. When you are an older person, being around a lot of elderly people in the last 5 years, is that, you know what? You can be an old person in this world, but once you break, it's like you can cruise, but once you break a bone, it's like that's the end of your, that's what happens to, because they lose their, older people lose their sense of being when you break something. It's true.
I'm going to hide around the corner and then whack you in the leg with my Louisville Slugger.
You know what?
And then I'm just going to watch you descend into madness. I'm going to be like, look at Janice.
With her Drambuie or
cigarettes. I think she's only got a couple more weeks left. Hi, Manice. I told you to jog, bitch. We're always at the pool.
I go to the pool because I can't run with my heels, but I'm waiting around the corner.
Whack! And then I'm just going to enjoy as the saga unfolds over the course of the year until we bury you.
Why are you such a jackass today? Something's wrong with you today.
Yeah. Okay, so you know that if you're looking to maintain your weight or lose weight, controlling the food that you put in your body with regard to the quality of the ingredients and the calories is critical. And that's why cooking at home can be so advantageous. But it's kind of a pain because you have to go to the supermarket and you end up buying a bunch of stuff you don't want, and it takes a ton of time, and then you have leftovers that sometimes go bad, and then we feel guilty and blah, blah, blah. So there's a great solution out there by a company called Blue Apron. Bodyshred.com. And they allow you to create delicious chef-designed recipes at home that save you the big restaurant calories and your hard-earned money as well. And all you've got to do is go to blueapron.com/Jillian, pick out the recipes you like and want. They deliver all the fresh ingredients you need right to your doorstep in exactly the right proportions. So again, no trips to the grocery store, no wasted food, and no wasted money. Each menu takes under 40 minutes to prepare. All you got to do is go to blueapron.com/Jillian, and you can get 3 meals per week for 2 people starting at $9.99 per person with free shipping. Blue Apron is a subscription service, but here's the great thing. You can cancel at any time. There is no commitment. And it's awesome for people who want to be healthy, for families, for people who don't have a ton of time and who are looking to save their pennies, which I hope you're being responsible and doing exactly that. So go and check it out today. Pick out some recipes that you like at blueapron.com/Jillian.
All right, we're back, and I'm going to throw a couple of questions that came in the Q&A because I find these two fascinating.
Okay, I'm ready.
The first, and I think they could be, I don't know if it's the same thing. All right, the first one is, my partner and I have a silent agreement to stay heavy together.
Yeah.
How do we break this to succeed together?
Why do you think this is fascinating? I'm throwing my water away.
But I've never heard of anything.
Oh, really? Look at me, old.
I know things are cracking. A silent agreement to stay heavy together?
You haven't heard of that. I'm sure we've taken calls like that a ton.
A silent agreement to be unhealthy together.
Unspoken agreement, of course. This is why when one person starts to lose weight in a relationship, the other one will get threatened. It's the number one reason women cite for abandoning an exercise regimen is that it's stressing out their relationship.
Yes. Okay, then does this have anything to do with it? How do you manage to handle a husband who believes that the only reason a woman wants to lose weight and better themselves is because she wants to cheat? I love the man, but it's hard to defend yourself.
Yeah,
and
it's
not self-sabotage.
Very similar. So he's obviously insecure, which is why he feels that she wants to cheat on him. And so it's like, wait a second. We agreed to love each other as is. Now you want to better yourself. You must want to leave me. That's a huge issue for people.
But when we get together with somebody, we're as is, but we change. Like,
yeah, but that's not part of the agreement. So if you're overweight and you marry somebody that's overweight, and then you start losing weight, yeah, it's a threat. It's like, wait a second. Are you going to outgrow me? Are you going to leave me behind? Are you going to think less of me? The contestants go through it in a big way. Some of their partners lose weight. Some of them don't. And it causes problems. I've seen a lot of them go home and their relationships don't end up working out. But with that said, I've seen a lot of them go home and find love as well. So a lot of them come single. Danny, for example. And now she's in a fantastic relationship with this lovely guy, and they have opened a yoga studio together in Chicago. So, of course, she went home and found somebody who was like-minded, and they're on the same page, and she's blissfully happy. One of my contestants, Pete, from season 2, went home, and, I mean, he's still in great shape, and he's very passionate about fitness and everything. And what they used to do was vacation together in search of food. And he really did love her. Sometimes it doesn't survive it. That's the reality of the situation. Now, Olivia was married to a guy named Ben, and Ben lost a ton of weight and they're totally happy together. Hannah was single. She's now married to this gorgeous strapping hunk trainer guy. You met him when they came to the Nashville show.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
Yes, yes.
So, I mean, it's... The reality is, and even the story I tell about Austin, the same situation existed with his mom. She'd been overweight, and when they came home thin, she was threatened and freaked out. Of course, this is totally normal, buddy.
I guess it's just the way
totally normal.
These people have worded it. Like, I just can't imagine you're bettering yourselves to cheat on me. That's...
Because you don't feel worthy, and that's why when you're dealing with this kind of an issue... The first thing you want to do is positively affirm the other person. Don't think that they're discouraging you because they don't believe in you or they don't think you're capable. They are insecure themselves. And so they are either consciously or unconsciously trying to sabotage you.
They are. It sure. is a sabotage.
Oh, yes. That's why the husband will order pizza when you're on a diet and all of that.
Right. Okay.
So the goal is to understand what's going on, to have empathy, to validate their feelings. I understand how you feel. It's not that you're saying they're right. I completely understand how you feel. Or it's if they're not open about it, they're not aware of it. Honey, it seems like for you to say, you think I'm going to cheat on you, that you feel I would ever cheat on you. Like you don't feel like I currently love you or value you. And then affirm them. I love you. You're everything to me. Blah, blah, blah. And then from that point, you start getting fit and hope that they will either A, follow suit, but B, if they don't follow suit, get more comfortable with you on your journey. And here's the reality. As sad as this sounds, not all relationships are meant to be, dude. There's a time and a season for everything in life.
I was just going to ask you that. I don't know how you would ever get those stats, but where I wonder what the ratio is when someone improves themselves and doesn't fall towards the, go to that codependency thing and just follows through, how many relationships actually last a change in one partner.
You know, I don't know. I bet we could get information on that. It's the number one reason people give up an exercise regimen. She said, you know, you talked about during the show what being overweight affords me. This is it. Stability in my marriage. I guarantee right. It goes farther back than that because she's playing out a pattern with her husband. Something that's older than just this marriage now.
Yeah.
But that's what it's affording her in the moment. And that's why it's creating fear for her to give up. And as I said, number one reason people quit an exercise regimen, but you have to appreciate that your health and your happiness is critical. If you're not healthy and you're not happy, that relationship will suffer anyway.
Yeah, true.
It'll be doomed anyway because you will resent the hell out of that person anyway. As I said, try to avoid the things you fear. You will manifest them every time.
Yeah. Yeah,
in it because you want the marriage to stay stable, but you'll be so angry and so resentful and so unhappy. It'll destroy the marriage in the long run anyway.
Yeah. And I guess you're right. It is the way these were worded just kind of rocked me.
Oh, new. Stick around.
Just stick around. All right. I'm going to throw some fast ones at you.
Oh, good.
Kelly asked you, is it actually you on Facebook replies?
Of course it's me.
I mean,
why
I know that.
Anybody but think it's not me?
Well, because famous, I think a lot of famous people.
Sometimes we'll have scheduled posts for like.
Right.
Like we'll have a Fit Fusion post, right? Which is the on-demand, like the Hulu of exercise videos. And if we have a scheduled post, yeah, my employees will say, hey, here's a partner post. Do you approve it? I'll say yes. And then they'll schedule it and they'll throw that stuff up. That's not me. But when it's a picture of, I mean, it is me. I saw it and I approved it, but I didn't write it and I didn't actually post it. But like, you know, if there's one of us on the bus or a positive message or me responding to people in the comments, that's all me.
Well, and I can testify to that because I see you do it. You know what I mean? But I guess some people think that famous people, they wouldn't. I don't know. All right.
But by the way, let me put one thing out there. People will say, I tweeted you and you didn't respond. And I want to say like, okay, I'm not on Twitter all day long. I have a job and I have a family. So I get on there, you know, whenever I can get on there and I can read like 20 of them, but I must get thousands of them. So it's like, I'll see ones where it's like, I can't believe you won't respond to me. And I'm like, it's the first thing I've ever seen. Right. And then they're so hostile that you avoid it. Cause it's like, egad. But yeah. I mean, or they'll go, my cousin actually, who I hadn't seen in years, truly my dad's side of the family. She's very sweet. I just, you know, I don't talk to that side of the family very often. And she wanted to come to the Peoria show. I had no idea. She didn't have my number. And she's like, I Facebooked you. I'm like, I don't have a Facebook. I have a Facebook, but like, I don't have a personal Facebook. I have a Facebook that, you know, is for my audience.
Right.
And she goes, well, I tagged you. And I go, but dude, it's not going to go on my page. And she goes, well, I've commented in the comments. And I go, okay, Melanie, let's look at the comments. And there's like, you know, 300 comments. I was like, buddy, I don't read all 300 comments. I can't. I have to put my kids to bed. I go in and I'll read like, you know, 40 and I'll try to respond. I'll do my best. So please understand that if for some reason I didn't respond to you, it's just because there's honest to God, not enough time in the day. It's not because I don't care.
Yeah. You do a lot. Well, anyway. All right. Here's, okay. Here's a Lauren. Do you believe in keeping a scale in your home and looking at it every day to see where your body stands?
I don't believe in looking at it every day. I do believe in keeping a scale in your home and looking at it every week, same day of the week, same time of day. And to me, it's just a compass. It lets you know when you're off track and when you're on track.
All right.
Yeah.
Hang on.
But every day, the fluctuations in your weight would be too significant. Water weight and all that stuff. So once a week.
Right. All right. Holly says, what's it like to be well known by many?
What's that?
Although I can test, I mean, I've just because
you know what it is?
I've been with you more often and I see the recognition, but what is it like to be, I guess what it's like to be you is what she's asking.
Okay. When you are a public figure, you get credit for a lot of things you don't deserve and you get criticized for a lot of things you don't deserve.
Yeah.
And so it's about the perspective. You know, there are people that will come up to you and tell you, oh my God, you're so great. And of course, you know, they're seeing, I lost 1 million pounds because of you. And I'm like, no, you lost 1 million pounds because of you. And you learn not to buy into your own BS very quickly. And then, you know, you're like, I'm no saint. I'm not an angel. I'm not a martyr. I'm just a businesswoman who loves her job. And, you know, for the most part, honestly, I'm an Aquarius. I like people. I do. Mm-hmm. I'm a people person.
You are.
But, you know, then you'll get like people will, oh, she's such a bitch. She's so mean. She's such a blah, blah, blah. And that's not true either. So you kind of take it all with a grain of salt. It doesn't bother me. The only time I have ever struggled with being a public figure is with my kids. So sure. They've gotten used to the paparazzi, which only happens when we're at home. Cause they know where we are, you know, they know where I live. They know where we, you know, we live in a beach community that's very small for the most part. When we're in the city, it's very hard to find us, but they've gotten used to it. They're pretty respectful. The only time I get really mad is like, if I'm at lunch with Lou and it's like, she's talking to me, you know, and she's like, and someone will be like, oh my God. And kind of take over. And I'm like, dude, I'm with my 3-year-old, you know, she's talking to me about something like, I don't get a ton of time to just be with my 3-year-old and let her just ramble.
Talk to you. Yeah.
Come on. You know, then I get pissed. And not pissed, but irritated.
Yeah.
Like one time it was freezing cold and we were walking from the bus to a hotel and it was so cold. It was the last tour. I'll never forget this. And I had both kids and they were all bundled up and we had to walk from the venue to the hotel. I don't know why they couldn't drop us off at this. We were in Canada. At Ottawa.
Ottawa.
Yes. And we were all exhausted. No one had slept. And they were like, a couple of girls were waiting outside the bus. And I was like, you guys, I got to get my kids to a hotel. I can't, like, I just woke up. Like, I can't go through this for 10 minutes with you right now. I'm really sorry. And it was like bitching on Twitter. What a bitch I was and how I didn't care. And I was like, you know what? I'm really sorry you feel that way. But at the time I had a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old.
Yeah.
That needed to get to the hotel, get dressed, get fed. And it was just so.
Then answer me this. Where do you put that? Like, because it's true with the way the media is. I mean, you can't control what people put up. But where do you put that? Like, I know there a long time ago, we did some fun things about, you know, about, oh, that Jillian. And we laughed about it. Remember,
yeah.
We did those things. But where do you store that?
I know, again, that like when people look at me, they are having projections of like, I'm the bad parent or I'm the really good parent. And so that's why I let them be. I mean, honestly, I love like having people come up to me and like, hi, oh my God, it's great. Or I've watched the show or whatever. I think that's fabulous. I just don't like it when it F's with my kids. That's the only time I get a little irritated by it.
So you don't, so when someone says something after that, like mean, kind of like, oh, she's
care.
A bitch. Really? It doesn't.
Not at all. I couldn't care less.
I guess you have to.
Sometimes
have
I'm
some
fascinated by it because I'm like, God, you don't even know me. Do you really think, like, do you think you know somebody off of trailer on NBC, like, really?
Right.
But it just fascinates me.
It fascinates me how it doesn't penetrate. Well, I'm sure it, I don't know, you know, and maybe in your quiet hours or something, it penetrates,
no,
but it would certainly
unhappy.
Penetrate me.
No, it wouldn't. You'd go, okay, this person has no idea who I am, and obviously they hate their mother.
Look, and I got penetrated by Anne. Oh, that's the wrong
penetrated.
Way to put it.
Whoa.
Penetrated by Anne.
Jesus.
Jeez, that's, I didn't mean it to go
Jeez.
There.
Oh my God,
that's, I was, Anne's comments, I should say, penetrated me. See what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I got penetrated.
Used to it, though.
I've been penetrated.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I'm sorry.
By Anne and the shoulder lady. It might be time. I'm so tired.
I know.
I can barely eke out a sentence.
What,
and then the thought of that is makes me just
so
want to curl
think,
up in a ball.
Look
oh,
at
God.
You. You couldn't get any smaller in the chair.
Oh,
and I think I just put you in.
Oh,
that's
dear.
It.
Oh, Lord.
You're
sweet
done.
Jesus.
Maybe we should stop because now all I think about is.
No.
No, I don't. Don't.
No. Ugh.
All right.
No.
Well. That's all my snappers for you. You need time.
I need a nap.
You need a. You do. You totally.
I know.
I can just tell you're like your eyeballs are getting like kind of wingy.
I'm so tired. We need to go night night.
You need to go night night
before the kids come, which is in an hour.
Oh Lord. Okay.
Bedtime shorts.
All right. We're gonna have to end the show then.
Yeah.
This is our show for the. We'll talk to you soon.
And don't forget to check out Blue Apron subscription service with no commitment. You can cancel anytime you want. Go to blueapron.com/Jillian. It's great for you, great for families, great for couples, people on the go who want a healthier alternative to take out. blueapron.com/Jillian has you covered.
Listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers. But you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.